Thank you, Dr. Burris. I'm real pleased to be here. I'm real pleased to be able to give an oral paper. The last time I was here, I had two poster sessions. Nobody came to my graduate student's poster when he was standing there for 2 hours, and only two people came to see me. So at least I have a captive audience here. I will try to be somewhat entertaining. I feel like I'm in a bad place. We've had three excellent speakers, and I'm not quite sure if I'm going to measure up to that, but I'll give it my best, 41 years or whatever. Stephen F. Austin is in East Texas. This is the part of Texas where it rains. We have pine trees and beef cattle and coastal Bermuda grass, and right around Nacogdoches we have a lot of chickens. And I have a broiler farm on the side, so I can afford to send my kids to college. We're about 150 miles north of Houston. I grew up at Devine, Texas, which is south of San Antonio. Did my undergraduate work at what is now called Texas A&M University, Kingsville, TAMU. We have any Aggies in the group today? There he is back there. Oh, Lordy. Well, I give Aggies a hard time. One of my biggest frustrations is that my youngest son is an Aggie, and he has received no peace. moving on. Murray, you will recognize this gentleman. Dr. David Neer was my soils professor at Texas A&I. He got me excited about soils. He was challenging. There was quality, to quote you, Dr. Burris. This is history memoir, if you will. He was very challenging. The story that they told about Dr. Neer was two ag majors met on mid-campus, and one of them said, "Hey, Joe, I thought you graduated." And Joe replied, "Damn near." And I made a B in my first soil science class. One of the other fellows that was at Texas A&I was Dr. Stan Anderson. I don't know if any of you in the group know or remember him. He went on and was dean of Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College in Tifton, Georgia. But he encouraged me to do graduate work, and he encouraged me to go out of state and get away from the Aggies. And I did that. I went to Iowa State. And one of the things that Dr. Anderson did is I think I had three courses with him, and he taught every one of those courses and tested in every one of those courses in a different way. And that just, for a young guy in South Texas, that was a shocker. Because I thought, boy, once I took Dr. Neer's first course, all the rest of his were the same, you know. By the time I took his last course, about 70% of it I'd already had. So that was interesting. Obviously, and we relate to this really well with what has been said today, these folks really influenced me in my career. We influence our students. We could probably just end the paper right now and we could just exchange stories about how successful our students have been. And that, boy, you know, what else could we do? But I take, Dr. Mullen, what you said, I'm concerned about soils. I looked at that phase data too, and it's disturbing. My timeline, I took my first soils course, I think it was actually in 1966, completed my BS in 70, went to Iowa State, came to Stephen F. Austin in 75, taught my first soils course. I had never taught anything but Sunday school class up to that point in time, so that was a real shock. In my 32 years there, I've run a regional soil testing lab. I spent 13 years as a department chair. I really enjoyed administrivia. I'm glad to be out of administrivia. This past spring, one of my colleagues nominated me to be a Regents professor, but I get the greatest joy from teaching soils. And I want to say just a little bit about the State University. I realize most of you folks here from the land grants, and those of us in state universities kind of feel like the weak stepchild sometime, but we focus on undergraduate instruction. A lot of us teach three or four courses a semester. Heavy teaching load. If we do any research or public service, it's kind of secondary, but most of us manage to do something. The non-land grants graduate between 20-25% of the BS graduates in agriculture. This is phase data. 15-20% of the agronomy majors, and actually in the last year, BS graduates, the ASCAR schools dropped down to only 11% of the agronomy majors, which is very disturbing. My soils course is a 300-level course. One of the reasons, Murray, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think one of the reasons all soils in the, at the four-year schools in Texas is at the four, at the 300 level is to keep it from being transferred in from the community colleges. Is that correct? Yeah. And because we didn't feel like those community college guys could treat the science properly. And in some cases, that's probably correct. In some cases, incorrect. But that's my course. Typical course for me is 25 students. Murray, typical course for you is 200. Is that right?
I've been retired for about 7 years.
Yeah. Okay. But I've had about 1,700 through my course. My average grade is 77.5. Those are the textbooks I've used. If you're familiar with soils, you'll recognize those. One that's probably the interesting one in there is this one. I went to grad school with Banwart, so I used his text for a couple of years. I've been very pleased with the Brady text, but I'm seriously considering going to the Gardner text the next time I switch. I'm not sure about that yet. Whoops. When I first started teaching, I pretty well tried to fill the blackboard up at least 3 times in an hour class. Students accused me of writing with one hand and erasing with the other. That was not true. I filled it up and then went back and started erasing. And in 1997, when I quit being a department chair, I converted all my, I thought, boy, PowerPoint is the new way to go. So I converted all my lectures to PowerPoint and then spent the next 5 or 6 years trying to figure out how to keep students awake during your PowerPoint presentations. And we had a teaching seminar, a fellow talked about engaging your students, and I realized that when we do PowerPoints, unless we do something extra, we don't engage our students. In 2003, I converted my course to a web-based course, and I won't go into why we did that. I kind of got caught there, and before I talk about that web-based course, this is my grade distribution over 32 years of teaching soils, 19% A's. I really believe that old story that the A's wind up being the teachers and the C's wind up being the millionaires, because a number of my C students have gone on and been very successful in the real world, and my A and B students, some of them have not been particularly successful in the business world. One of my former students just got a job. He made a D in the course, and he's done very well for himself. This is averaging grade per year. There's about 2 semesters in each of these bars, some case 2 semesters in a summer school, and I have the y-axis is expanded there. That's really only covers from about a 65% up to about an 83% there, so makes the differences look big. I particularly want to talk about the tallest graph over there on the right, the tallest bar, and the shortest bar, which are over there on the right-hand side in just a moment. Each class that you teach has a distinctive personality. Depends on who you've got in that class and how they respond to your teaching style. In 2005, I taught my course using my web-based materials, but I taught it face-to-face. I had a couple of students in there who just covered me up with questions, and they drug the rest of the class along with them. We had a class average of 83. It was the most enjoyable class I have ever taught. I was looking forward to doing that again in spring of 07. I had the class from hell. I had some weak students in there. I had a young lady who later I found out was taking 21 hours. She was a poultry science major. She had no interest in soil. She was only in there because she absolutely had to be to graduate, and she was going to do whatever was possible to just barely make a D. And that's what she did. She finished the course with a 59.3% of the total points. I decided that rounds to 59.5, and 59.5 rounds to 60. Let's give her a D and get her out of here. I'm sure you have all had situations like that. Talking about web-based instruction, when I first heard about it, I thought, gosh, this is the correspondence course reincarnated. If you do it right, it is not. And this has been the most rewarding thing I have done in all of my teaching career, was to convert this thing to a web-based course. And one of the neat things about it is it can meet the needs of some students who can't come to campus, and maybe it's not the total solution to not enough soils majors, but it makes soils available to some folks that can't get to a course, and that's important. It does require motivated students. My motivated students do well. The young lady who was just trying to get a D did not do well. Most of my students are on campus, but I've had a student as far away as Pennsylvania. I'm anticipating a student in Idaho this coming spring. Most of the students are okay with it. Some of them really like it. Some of them hate it. The course is very structured. This is the home page of the course, and most of what I use in a weekly basis, everything kind of operates on a week, uses the assignments, course content, communication, which is mail, and discussion forum, and then practice quizzes and exams. The weekly schedule is we release the assignments, then we have a couple of days later we release the content module. Then after the content module is released, I will assign some specific questions for students to respond to in the discussion forum. Then we release practice quizzes. At the end of the week, we have the exam. And then we start all over again. And it's kind of like drinking from a fire hose. This is the example of the page where all the assignments are. Some of the assignments, typically they're 15 to 25 terms that they use the textbook to write definitions. I don't grade these real rigorously, mainly just see if they've done it. Then I also give them some graphing assignments using Excel. Students, one of my ag economy friends says graphs are your friends, and so we try to use that. The assignment is submitted in what's called the assignment Dropbox. The course content module, this is an essay which I have written for each of the topics like soil organic matter or soil nitrogen. And it includes all of my experiences. Somebody said we're the sum total of our experiences from 40 years. This is basically what I would say if I had these kids in class, and it reduces down very nicely. It was very difficult writing those. I'm not that good of a writer. I used some illustrations from my personal sources. I developed some graphs, and I include some audio files where I pronounce important terms like the soil orders and those types of things. Then we have the practice quizzes open about 3 days in advance. There's 10 to 12 questions there. They can take these quizzes as many times as they want. The quizzes are all pulled from a database. Each week has from 50 to 80 questions in it. About 10% of those are discussion questions. There's no relationship between the number of times students take these quizzes and their grades. I have students that take them 35 times. I have students that take them 2 or 3 times. You can make an A or you can make a D, depending on how you use the materials. Then the exams, total class, I have 750 questions, so you can't memorize all the question answers. And the software randomizes everything. So, and I have repeat questions, so the course, as we move along, becomes more and more comprehensive. It's the best thing I've done late in career, although I'm hoping to hang on another 5 to 7 years. This is some examples of some of the quiz questions. This is a discussion question. And that's the one nice thing about online courses is you can put all these illustrations in there and get your students to write about them. And that's been really exciting. So with that, I'm going to skip right through the laboratory. We do have a lab. It's probably the weakest part of the class, but the lecture is great. So with that, I will quit. Do we have time for questions?
We have time for one question as I'm changing.
Ken?
How do you proctor the exams, or how are they proctored?
Well, the on-campus students, I reserve a computer lab at a set time in the evening on Monday evenings, and they all come and take the exam at that time. Students that are out of town, I have them make a deal with their local youth director at their church or with a high school principal to go and take the exam under their supervision. I had a fellow explain to me one time, he used to teach correspondence courses and used to have them go to the police station to take the exams, and he later revised that and started sending them to the local priest, and he thought that was much more effective in terms of proctoring of the exams. Thank you.
Wonderful job.